I, Vegeta, the prince of all Saiyans, hereby command that you do not listen or subscribe to the Dragon Ball 4 Life podcast. Whatever you do, would you defy royalty? No! Bye!
May we have your attention, please,
and welcome you're
to a special first edition new segment introduction
first
episode
edition
of Dragon Ball 4 Life, where you come for the content but you stay for the culture. We talking about Goku, we and so forth. We talking about Ichigo with our Ichibro. We them outlaw stars giving you them outlaw bars. We like Akira Toriyama bagging on your mama. That's what we like, you know. That's what we like. And you know, preaching the good word on all things nerd. As
yes,
always,
sir.
We are your hosts, the Fusion Dance Dons, aka the Mon Gods, aka the
Gods.
Deadliest backcourt in the podcasting game. I go by the name of Rogita, the Prince of All Sayings, Mr. Matthew Porter, aka Matty Ice, here with my counterpart, the Oob, to my Majin Buu, my den day one, going from the lookout to the cookout, Mr. Troll Toe Trav. Talk to the people, Trav.
You know who it is. It's the kid, Troll Toe Trav. And you know, like Akira Toriyama, shit, I stay out of all the
drama.
So, I'm saying,
double
I'm saying,
don't ask him out.
You know, Matt knows that's legit me. That's legit. I don't be in the mix.
Lil Trav said, take me home.
But yes, we are here for a special episode, as Mr. Porter alluded to. And, you know, Matt and I had this idea before the unfortunate legendary
goat
still hurts before the passing of Akira Toriyama. But you know, this segment, or not even segment, this series that we're starting, you know, is a big reason why, like, when Dragon Ball ended and it still stayed alive until Battle of Gods, like, Dragon Ball, the franchise, it never left, you know, between video games, communities talking about it. But what also was a key driver, and you know, we're gonna get more into it, of just like what being a passionate fan can get you, is fan art, fan fiction, just any sort of fan type of work. And for us being the avid fans that we are, you know, some you get some fans that will look into fan fiction and be like, oh, this is too headcanon. But it's just like, but it's fan fiction. It's like, there's, you know what I'm saying? Like, people will get so wrapped up in just, oh, this isn't realistic. Oh, look.
I got a confession, Trav. Well, let's go finish this fuse.
Were you one of them for a little bit?
not only was I one of them, I was hard body one of them until you put me on Dragon Ball Deliverance, which is another fan fiction that we're
yes.
going to
well,
cover.
So, I will say, though, that there are some fan theories, fan fiction, fan work, where you're just like, okay, this is on another level. But low-key, though, what we're gonna highlight first is kind of on that, like, other level. Mm-hmm. But then the artist that we're gonna be highlighting was able to kind of hone that in and give us a fan manga that you're like, you know, this is, you know, it's a little far-fetched in certain parts. I mean, even the basis of this arc that we're covering is pretty far-fetched.
Yeah,
but the art, the designs, like, you really would think that it was penned by Toriyama, at least, yeah, like, the closest, like, fan work that... Because, you know, you get fan work that has the artist's own unique style, illustrations, designs, where this artist in particular looked like he was really trying to emulate Toriyama. And crazy as it is, he is now essentially the heir apparent. He is now the main drawer, illustrator, like, ever for the Dragon Ball Super manga. He collaborated with Toriyama with storylines. And as we cover his fan work that got him this attention, we see elements of his work that now is in Super.
Yep.
And so who we're talking about is obviously Toyotaro.
Before
he was Toyotaro, he was known as Toible. And he was known for his Dragon Ball AF manga. But before I even get into the Dragon Ball AF manga, I just want to give a quick history about Dragon Ball AF. If you want to learn about a more in-depth breakdown of it, I'm pretty sure Geekdom 101 did history of Dragon Ball AF. Masako X did one as well, where they really, you know, go in deep of like what it was and how just the talk it generated. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, I was trying to find, where can I find Dragon Ball AF? Where can I find Dragon Ball AF? So before we even get into that, what even started the viral craze? And this was before, this was like, it went viral, but at the same time, like, this was not when internet was at the level it is now, where you could really fact check and source. And that's why it spread so quickly. That's why it was so believable. Yeah. And that's why people were, and also
there
too,
there was like an era where people thought it was like legit. Like Dragon Ball property. It was like, oh, y'all seen the new Dragon Ball? And I remember I was like, ain't no new Dragon Ball, bitch.
you're like, yo, I'm 10 toes down. Yeah, I know everything about it. Like, ain't shit out.
I'm a 7-star general around here, brother. Like, got all the Dragon Balls. Like, I ain't heard nothing about this, yo.
Right. You're just like, nah, like, I don't think that was it. But you know, so I'm going to, for those that that are going to see, and I don't know if you're going to clip this, Mikey, you might, but I'm going to share my screen. So just to show some artwork that started the viral craze.
Indeed.
So.
Yeah, because there are a couple in there, and it's funny. It's so funny because, again, my introduction to AF is I had heard about it like when it was rumbling and people thought it was just like legit. Toriyama artwork and everything, basically Dragon Ball just continuing and whatnot, what have you. And then, you know,
right,
kind of, I wouldn't say I was a full-fledged anime insider back then, but I definitely knew more than the layman. Like, I knew the reliable sources and the sites to search and, like, you know, like, oh, is this real? Like, the keywords to put into Google to figure out if this was like a real thing or not. So, like, once I figured out it wasn't, I kind of just left it out of my head, because again, at that time, I was definitely a canon purist. Like, any type of like side Dragon Ball content, I wasn't really trying to fuck with it. Super Saiyan 5, you know, Time Cop, Trunks, all that shit I fuck with now. Not gonna hold you. Xenoverse made me like a lot of the Time Cop stuff because that was a fun game.
Well, some of the fan art got crazy. Remember, like Super Saiyan 100, and it was just mad flowy yellow hair that just covered like. Mm-hmm. All of the whole panel, it got crazy. But what I have up on my screen is the fan work that went viral. So what looks like a Super Saiyan 5 Goku is actually a fan character named Tablos, and the artist, his name is David Montiel Franco. He is the original artist of this drawing, and it definitely does look like a Super Saiyan 5 Goku. And for those that, you know, if you're listening right now, you know this picture.
Yeah,
it was his own fan character that was then published in this Spanish gaming magazine called Hobby Consolas. And Franco's drawing, it was then had the Dragon Ball AF put next to it, and then I forget which blog had then posted it as an April Fool's joke. And you know, they do Dragon Ball AF April Fool's, but like the artwork, it looked like a Super Saiyan 5 Goku.
This was legit my introduction into it, this picture. Like, I remember somebody, this is back when people remember when I don't know why, because it's not like posters haven't always been a thing. But remember the era where you would just, you know, like print pictures out on your printer and just tape it to your wall. Like, so I remember a kid in school had like brought this, and he's like, "Yo, y'all heard about Super Saiyan 5?" And you know, I was just like, my ears perked up, like, "Bro, Super Saiyan 5?"
Because
at that point, you know, I had watched all the GT on the VHS tapes and whatnot, what have you, and was extremely disappointed. So they talking about 5, and I'm like, like, oh, is GT expanding? Again, like at that point, you know. Right,
because Super Saiyan 4 was everybody's favorite part of GT.
Yeah, exactly. So it was just like, at that point, you know, I would probably say my internet searching in that age, other than porn, let's be real, you know, was
other than putting viruses
exactly.
On
other than, you know, like, you know, porn or FrostWire or BearShare to illegally download music. Cause it's like, I was looking up anime content. Cause I feel like around this time, correct me if you remember the timeline, it was either before Cartoon Network started like airing like the Boo Saga shit, or it was like after, like when was it? But I feel like around this time there was like no new Dragon Ball content happening, so it was just like,
no,
oh, this could
it
be
was right. It was, yeah, it was during like the to do, 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 it was during the Dead Zone.
Yeah, there you go. Foreshadowing.
But right, hey, woo, Deadly is my, and so, yeah, so this picture went viral. Everyone was like, oh, shit, this is Super Saiyan 5 Goku. No, it was Franco's fan art. It was his fan character, Tablos. Literally, there was nothing else more from his work that it was just, this just went viral. But the thing about this outfit and layout of Tablos, we see Toy Bowl use the same, like, gi for Goku in his Dragon Ball AF. And so we're going to go to now Dragon Ball AF. So Dragon Ball AF, it starts after GT. But
like pretty much immediately after GT.
Yeah, it takes place immediately after GT. But the way it starts is pretty interesting, but also at the same time, very fan manga. Mm. And so the way it starts is, you know, it goes back, it flashbacks to after Goku,
you know, Frieza, why not?
yeah, of course, it always comes back to Frieza. So actually, one second, where it, there we go. All right, it always comes back to Frieza. And so the thing about it is, yeah, it starts off, well, first off, for those that aren't watching this, so the cover art has Super Saiyan 4 Gohan, which is, I think, this, it might be my favorite Super Saiyan 4 design out of the three.
It's his school pants that throw me, though.
Like, I know.
His teacher pants on. I'm like, that's hilarious.
But, you know, it is nice, though, that he actually is just like, yo, stay ready so you never got to get ready.
He accesses it fairly easily, like when he transforms. Yeah. Like, it's not like, oh.
And it seems like no one knew he had it yet. So, mm-hmm. like, Trunks and Goten are like, oh, shit.
Right.
He goes. But anyways, so with the story starts where it flashbacks to after Goku and Frieza's fight in Namek, where Frieza's mangled body is in space, he's gasping for life, and then they find him. But the thing that is weird is that we see a Kai in there that is Frieza in the chamber. He goes, it hurts, Papa, Mama. And you're like, huh?
A familiar Kai at that.
Yeah. And so it's confusing because you're just like, oh, one, I thought the Frieza, the Cold Clan, they just reproduced on their own. But, you know, there's this it implies that she's his mother, but you're like, okay, how? And so, but anyways, the West Kai, you know, she's disgusted that Frieza, who's supposed to be the mightiest of the universe, lost to a Saiyan. But at the same time, though, it intrigues her because she says, well, if this Saiyan is now the mightiest of the universe, I have to find him before King Cold and the Cold Clan does, because they're obviously going to want to extract revenge and kill this Saiyan. And what's, you know, what's actually pretty cool and neat is that you see Cooler, and then you see Kariza, the son of Frieza, you know, it's not his official son, but like we've seen that fan character in fan manga and fan video games. So yeah, we see Kariza. So obviously, so Toy Bowl, you know, he's playing to, you know, us fans, And it's a good, and also too, we see the soldier that shoots at future Trunks when he arrives at Earth. Mm-hmm. You see that? Yeah. Like, yeah. That's the soldier that he's like, huh, only has a power level of 5. Which, like, when he said that, I'm like, oh, these people are it, like, right. They just saw him dismantle all of the soldiers, and then he said, this guy only has a power level of 5. You know, like, no one was thinking, like, are you sure this shit is working?
You know what's even funnier about that? Now that you mentioned it, I never really gave any credence to it. Like, you can go back to the Raditz saga with characters hiding their power level from scouters, and seeing how as Raditz was a subsidiary of the Frieza Force, as was Nappa, as was Vegeta, as was Poi Poi, as was Zarbon, as was Dodoria, as was the Ginyu Force, all of them, to the best of my memory, have had instances where they misread someone's power level. Why the fuck hasn't Frieza put just like, yo, don't be trusting y'all scouters, they be hiding their power levels, yo? Why hasn't that edict been sent down, like, hey, heads up, this particular group knows how to suppress their powers. Your scouters might betray you. Yo, just a warning. Right. It happened a lot on Namek. Yo, you can tell Frieza isn't having staff meetings a lot. Yo,
yeah. I mean, like, what are we talking about here? So it's just like, you know, but yeah. So this Kai, who at the time we don't know her full identity. We obviously it's a cop.
I'm not gonna hold you that I didn't put the pieces together until it was put together for me later in the joint. I was like, oh shit, that is the West Kai.
yeah, right. So yep, it turns out it's the West Kai. But you hear her say that Goku is gonna be her key to the universe, and you don't know what that means. She just reroutes the ship because she just leaves the ship to go find Goku, because I guess, you know, Frieza was gonna be her key to taking over the universe, but now that he got defeated, she's like, well, he ain't worth shit to me. So we fast forward to the end of GT, where everybody is there, there's peace and everything. Mm-hmm. And it goes through a recap,
accurate outfits.
Yep. Goes through the recap of events that happened in GT. And now it's just quick panels. But then, you know, we get into modern day. You know, obviously, Gohan is still knee deep in books, as always, because, of course, it's Gohan. You know, he's late for another lecture, whatever. So, you know, everything is, he's got the characters down. You know, we see Goten in his class, obviously, because at this point, Goten would be a college student. And, you know, then there's something happening in the city. And so Gohan is like, hey, Goten, you're going to go check that out. Which, this was the first instance of Toyotaro. Well, we're going to call him Toyble, because right now he was Toyble. Right. Toyble has incorporated something from his work into Super, which is
Saiyan Man.
Goten being Saiyan Man. Yep. Gohan is like, he even yells at Goten to go check it out
because he's still.
He's like, why are you bullshitting, man? Like, you over here trying to like talk and figure out when you're going to Shake Shack.
I'm teaching class, my guy. I got you. Go ahead.
I'm passing this down on to you. Right. You're now Saiyan Man.
Right. Like, I'm your brother. I'll just mark you as present, dog. Go ahead. Get out of here.
Right. And so he puts on the and for this time around, though, but obviously in Super they have new outfits. He basically has the same man outfit, except it says 3 on his helmet instead of, obviously, Gohan 1, Videl was 2, and Goten's now 3. Yeah. So he goes, but here's what's really funny, though. He goes to the city to check out the crime, and we got Pilaf, we got Old Mai. We got the Pilaf gang still at it. You know, they're back to their old selves, trying to, you know, probably rob another bank, go to their riches. You know, it's like you can tell Toyble was a student of the 1,000%. Game, because he's definitely still incorporating, like, and this is why it probably got Toriyama's attention, because while it had, you know, a far-fetched premise, it's
very authentic,
still
super authentic.
Yes.
Like, Yes. Like the conversations, the story beats, like the quote unquote filler parts for side characters to get some, like the what was this, Mr. Papaya, or is Papaya Man, like,
yeah,
well, Papaya all Man. That shit, yep. Felt like super on brand for like Dragon Ball content. Like when we like, you know how the start of most arcs you get like the slice of life parts before shit hits, yeah, the fan. Like this is literally what this was. Like,
That's what we exactly get, because Goten, he shows up and he's like, you know, he says his superhero saying, hey, villains, prepare yourself. The Great Saiyan Man 3 is. And then here comes Majub as Papaya Man. Yeah. And I love the Nimbus. Fact that he is. Yep. He comes in on Nimbus. You know, obviously he was Goku's protege, coming in. Look, Toy Boy knew what he was doing. Sense. And that's why Matt and I. You know, Toible is the living embodiment of when Matt says, yo, come get us. Toible, yeah, is the living embodiment of that.
They went and got him, bro.
Exactly. So, like, that's why, you know, I can't ever knock any sort of one, because, like, I just love seeing people's interpretation and takes on things, even if they are super wacky. But this actually landed him his dream job, and now, you know, more than ever, he is. It's really crazy how just life happens, and like, you know, he probably never one would have expected to even become just a full time employee, working on his dream franchise. But then, like, you know, with the unfortunate passing of Toriyama, now it's almost like, hey man,
it's the heir apparent, like you said.
You got the keys. And so,
when did AF come out? Do you know the year? Or, like, when this started?
When this came out, in the early 2000s.
Okay, so.
So 2003, it says.
Yep. Hold on, episode. Oh, there's a live action version of AF the show. AF the show ran from, oh shit.
It probably has. I've never.
Yeah, it says Dragon Ball AF the show ran from February 13th, 2010 to December 2nd, 2012 on Disney XD. So it's 52 episodes. The fuck is this show?
Nah, that's incorrect.
Yeah, I'm like, what is this?
Ain't no way. We had no idea of a 52 post GT.
Yeah, seriously. Like, nah, I'm very confused as to what this is.
Yeah,
I'm quite intrigued. I mean, fuck, if it's a real thing, we'll cover it.
Yeah. So, you know, Papaya Man shows up, handles his business, and everybody's enamored. But then, you know, Goten's sick, because then he pulls out the superhero rankings, which is hilarious because it kind of reminded me of One Punch Man in superhero rankings. But he's looking, Papaya Man is number one. Mr. Satan is still, you know, still the people's champ. He's number two.
And even Gohan, the other Saiyans are still up there.
Yeah. 3 and 4. And they've probably been retired.
But
like,
that was a whole mom and shit. Like,
yeah. And Goten is looking, you know, he just barely cracked the top 100. He's sitting at 100.
Yeah. Like the person under him is unranked. As I was.
Which I love, because I do feel like the GT Goten would have slacked, because he just seemed like he was very, very millennial. Was like,
on
you know.
Cell phone, texting his girl in GT.
Yeah.
Like,
Goten was just trying. He was an earthling. Goten was an earthling, for sure.
1,000%. That's a perfect summation of Goten.
So Goten leaves the scene. He's down in the dumps. But then we pan over to what looks like sand pods in a crater on Earth. And I don't know about you, Matt, but when I saw this, I was just like, ain't nobody noticed, like, two pods come crashing, especially when you see who, I mean, I get it that, like, people can, like, these characters can suppress their powers, but literally nobody noticed, yeah, especially when we learn who it is, like, nobody felt that power.
Yeah, nah, for real, or saw it, like, you know, breaking right. Earth's atmosphere, like,
no one, like, heard, fucking, just a... an earthquake or
fucking
something.
Dende, my G. Well, you're up top for that reason, bro. Like, you're supposed you're supposed to be looking down, like, surveying for threats. Like, what are you doing? You didn't see that shit coming past the lookout?
Yo, and before you know, Battle of Gods happened, and before we learned about Kais and everything, mm-hmm. yo, these so-called gods, because technically the Guardian of Earth is like a god. Yeah. Yo, y'all ain't getting performance reviews, bro, because I'm between Supreme Kai, Dende.
We've been talking about Shin. I get his shitty performance for forever. For as long as this podcast has been active, yeah.
But so then we see who came out of the pods, and it's the West Kai, and this character that looks like a Saiyan, who reveals himself to be Zaikor, the son of Son Goku. Mm-hmm. And this is where it's like, what?
Nani?
We know Goku's a faithful man. Shit, he wouldn't even know how to cheat.
It's a bit of a recanonization, like the whole conversation between Vegeta and Goku about like making babies and stuff, because like Goku definitely was like slobbing Chi-Chi down when he woke up from the heart attack, like in the Android Saga, like when he finally came up. He definitely was kissing on the beach, so it was just like, he know how to do something, right? Gohan didn't get here by accident. Yeah?
Right, the only like theory that I could even think of was like the West Kai found Goku when he was traveling to Yard Rat, and probably was like in a vulnerable state, and probably like
drug deal,
probably, or like did some sort of technique where she was able to like
get telekinesis,
get his DNA and like, you know, put it in her, so then she could give birth to Zaikor, because he's half Saiyan, half Kai, which is technically half Saiyan, half God.
Yeah, and not only that, like, you know, I would imagine if I know, like, Namek blew up and stuff, but, you know, I'm pretty sure, like, they were literally bleeding and sweating and all over that planet. Like, his DNA's just out there. Like,
yeah, that is a very good point. She could have just went to Namek before it exploded, right, and took a Kai cotton swab,
right?
And just was rubbing the shit out of the Namekian grounds, like, all right.
We do know that like the AF starts off as a flashback sequence directly following Frieza's almost demise on Namek, and then there's the time skip to after GT. So it's just like, she could have found the ship that Goku took to Yardrat, you know, swabbed that down, like checked for his DNA. Like, there's ways that she could have got his spit,
right?
Like, or something,
right? But Zaikor is, I think, the next element of AF that he brought into Super, which is like kind of like an evil Saiyan, and we see that with Black Goku, or Goku Black, I should say. And so Zaikor, they spot Goten, who's flying back, and I gotta go to this image. Well, actually, no, not that image yet. There's another image where he shows off that he's a student of the game. But anyways, Zaikor finds Goten. Yo, he ain't here for no frills.
He said we're not doing base form fights.
No. We only, and like the way he looks, we don't even know if he's like, this is his base form, if he's already transformed. But I mean, he looked tough, man. Like, I mean, the amount of Zaikor mods that I would see still to this day, and like Xenoverse mods and shit. You can tell that this was, I mean, this just tells you the impact of Toriyama and how people just kept the franchise alive. Mm-hmm. The community kept the franchise alive until it was, you know, time for it to return.
A case could be made, and there's no way for us to know, especially now, what came first, the chicken or the egg. But I like to believe that a lot of these fan fictions encouraged Toriyama to come back, because it's like, we don't know that there was ever really plans to like redo Dragon Ball. Cause like, if there's anything that we knew about our boy Tori, is he did shit his way. And if he was just like, yeah, I'm done, you know, like it would have just been done. But then you see like you said, Trav, like the imprint that he had on people's lives. And cause it's just like, you got to think about, not only did Torotaro create this, but you know, he had to, you know, get down the artistic mastery to be able to draw it, you know, actually do the storyboarding and for fun, because I would imagine for our sanity, me and Trav, when we cover each chapter of AF, a lot of it we are going to skim through, because these ain't no 30 page mangas. These are like 69, 70 pages per chapter. Yeah.
Toyotaro was working, man. He was working. That would be low key crazy, though, if he was able to finish his story.
If there was ever a time where that would be, you know, I guess, like, tolerated, for lack of a better word, it's just like now that we've established between, you know, like AF or Xenoverse, or what's the one I always forget? The TV show with Time Cop Trunks and like the angels are bad guys. I always forget the name of it.
It's like an anime.
It's like the animated one. It's like superheroes, not superheroes.
I always forget. Dragon Ball Superheroes. It's based on the card game.
Yeah. So it's just like that thing has been going on for years, and it's like consistent storytelling. And like you said, a lot of it's outlandish, but as you know, as faithful listeners of this podcast,
we were deprived.
And I've been clamoring for there to be a angel war, and that happens in superheroes. That's literally the Grand Priest Angel is like the main villain in one of their arcs. So it's just like,
I know, which is like, I low-key wish they didn't do that, just because like I would love for that to be fleshed out in the real series. And it's kind of like, even though like they could still do that, it wouldn't feel brand new. Like, anymore.
They copied the copy.
Yeah. So Zykar just. Damn near wipes Goten out, and we think that Goten's dead, but he's still breathing. But like, and also too, the thing that we got to remember is that at the end of GT, Goku leaves with Shenron, and the Dragon Balls are no more. So like, if somebody dies, they die, they gone. So there's a level of suspense and tension that obviously doesn't exist in Super, because we know everybody's good at it.
Exactly.
So, you know, like when you see him get wiped out, you're like, oh shit. Like this is real dire. And so Gohan shows up. They're all happy. Ah, son Gohan. Zykor is like, ah, why do you have such pathetic energy?
He said, what's up, big bro?
He said, me? I'm your little brother. And Gohan said, the fuck you talking about? Like, first off, you got like, you don't look nothing like me. You got all these orange shit. Yeah. And you know, and then Vegeta and Trunks in the worst Dragon Ball outfit that was ever created. They show up.
The Crocodile Vegeta's Dundee fit.
yeah, he still got that. Vegeta still got like the guile.
Yeah, yeah,
haircut.
Definitely
got the guile. So he reveals himself to be Zykor, and they still have no idea what the hell he's talking about. He says he's the strongest in the universe. He's a god. Hey, we got the introduction of gods here, man. Mm-hmm. I do love reading this back now that Super is, well, not completed, but now that Super has lasted for so long, it's like, oh shit. Like, you would hear that Toriotaro was, you know, incorporating his own ideas, and you're seeing it. You know, you're seeing these things that are popping up within the actual series. So it makes you wonder, like, hey, are we going to see, like some of these concepts are wonky, but cool. And so West Kai, it's still not revealed yet. It's the West Kai, but she just says, I am Zykor's mother. I am a goddess. Everybody's like confused as hell, like, yo, you not Chi-Chi. So, like, I don't know what you're talking about.
You say, you don't look like my mama.
So then, you know, but Zykor is just, he's just moving. Look, he's doing instant transmission. His power level. And of course, Vegeta, he hears him say, I'm the strongest in the universe. And Vegeta said, yo, don't be taking my life, bro.
In the truest of blue Dragon Ball fashion, they still ain't letting Vegeta get nothing.
Another example of Toyotaro being a student. You know what? It was Vegeta getting
one punch
that made Toriyama be like,
"He get this kid gets it."
Get him on my line.
Name of this episode, "This Kid Gets It."
yes. He understands. Yeah. Like literally Toriyama could have came up with the most weirdest fan theory, but
included
the one
that
panel
in there.
Yeah, of Vegeta getting one punched. Woo!
really quick, because we got so excited, we kind of forgot to introduce the segment a bit. So what me and Trav want to do in between actual Toriyama Torotaro chapters, which we do know that after the next chapter, which not to timestamp us, but drops tomorrow, they are taking a bit of a prolonged break before the next arc.
Yes.
And rightfully so, deservedly so, if anything, for them to, you know, regroup, figure out what's going on, mourn and grieve, because I'm sure all of them are still like us, you know, on the other side of the world are still hurt over this. And like more information's coming out. You know, I'm not going to speculate on anything, but at the end of the day, someone that we all cared about and looked up to is gone. So,
and I think too, it was said that they were aware of Toriyama's sickness, well, obviously. And so it seems like this was
probably already were planning things. Yeah, like started putting things in motion. And then, you know, I know a lot of fans, because, you know, I've been checking the comments for like his tribute videos and, you know, just when posts go up with like people of note. And, you know, a lot of fans have been saying like, hey, like, you know, he's kind of been saying like, hey, you know, my health isn't, he's downplayed it, but he was kind of saying like, yeah, you know what, my health isn't the best. I'm not getting any younger. I'm going to start, you know, delegating some things around and whatnot, what have you. So this, and we know that he was a very secretive person, and we've talked about the lack of leaks that usually come out from that camp. You know, we get like the storyboards and stuff like that, but for the most part, we don't usually get like crazy spoilers, like sometimes every now and again. So like I said, they could have been prepping for this for a long time and we would have had no idea. But I digress. So what me and Trav wanted to do is to continue to give you guys content. We're obviously starting the Dragon Ball movie reviews, where we will be reviewing all 13 of the DB movies. But we also wanted to take this time to highlight fan fiction and people like us who took their love of what Toriyama has done for them and turned it into something that either it was widely regarded, maybe a little bit more unknown, maybe a sleeper pick. Looking at you, Deliverance, because goddamn, if that shit ain't the best fan fiction thing I've ever seen in my life,
well, we gonna cover that.
Be great, man. But
I would love to talk to them.
Trav's
too.
Ideas that we're gonna do a little segment, DB4L, but we're gonna call it Fans for Life, where we're just gonna pretty much devote a couple episodes, probably more than a couple, but we're gonna pretty much find all like the fan favorite fan fiction. Maybe we'll uncover some ones that aren't as widely known, and, you know, give them their just dues and flowers. But I'm really excited about it, because like I said, the impact that this man has had on so many brilliant creatives, as we're, you know, y'all can't see it, but I'm sure Mikey will share a lot of these stills. Maybe we'll include, you know, some of the pictures in a post. That'd be a cool thing to do. A little slideshow of some of the stills from that. That reminds me, I got to do Toriyama Tuesday. Like, not to timestamp myself again, but put that out there. But I just wanted to take the moment for me and Trav to like actually introduce the segment for y'all. But we're going to be doing Fans for Life, covering fan fiction, Dragon Ball shit. It's going to be litty. Lit. A situation, you know?
Well, thank you for covering that, because obviously I didn't mention. What is this?
We got excited, bro. We got excited.
this is Fans for Life. And as we back to AF, this now, Mr. Porter, this is the panel that I wanted to show off. This is just, you can tell.
Yeah, bro.
Toriyotaro, he is a fan, because this is paying homage directly to Majin Vegeta.
Sir.
Like this, when I reread this, I'm like, yeah, there's a reason why he's working on the franchise now. And so we see Zycor just letting them know, I ain't here to talk. I ain't here to walk around and play these reindeer games. If y'all ain't gonna fight me right now, this whole planet getting blown up. Like what did Charlie Murphy say in the Rick James here? He said, take another step, I'm kicking this nigga out the fucking window. Like, that's the energy Zycor's on. Like, he's just like, hey,
with a Bruce Lee front kick. Bow.
So, yeah, damn near wipes out a whole city. And they're like, oh, all right. Gohan said, what are you doing? Bro, what do you mean, what are you doing? He just destroyed a bunch of innocent lives. Like, it, you know what's so funny is that, and this is just not in this fan manga, is that we see this shit all the time. Yeah. Like, dudes will be doing heinous ass shit, and everyone's like, stop, stop, stop. Yo, just you stop.
Do something about it, bro.
He trying to tell you.
You know what I really liked about the panel that you were showing with that paid homage to Majin Vegeta is, I don't know if this was intentional, but I like how, for whatever reason, like, it's showing that, like, the energy wave is, like, emitting from, like, his whole arm, not just, like, the palm of his hand. And it just made me feel like it was so much stronger. Like, you see it? Like, it's, like, the blast is, like, coming from, like, off his whole arm as opposed to just the palm. And I just made it, it just made it feel so much powerful than any other ki blast I've ever seen.
Yeah. You even see early how talented Toyotaro is. Because one thing that no one has will ever knock for him, you can say his story writing isn't that great, but his artwork and sequencing and panels, nah. My man got it. So, yeah, I mean, like, you know, Zycar does his thing, and then here we get Vegeta transforming into Super Saiyan 4, which Super Saiyan 4 is still one of my favorite transformations. It's a shame it was in GT. He goes after Zycar.
One day we might.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think Broly would be the perfect person.
I would be down. I would prefer it be Broly. But I also wouldn't be mad if they, like, gave it to Gotenks to, like, give Gotenks and Trunks like a trump card that's more than just.
Or if that was, like, Universe 6 Saiyans God forms.
Ooh, yeah. That'd be fire.
That'd be dope. So, yeah, Vegeta, Super Saiyan 4, tries to go up against Zycor, and there's literally no match. He's kicking, he's screaming, he's flailing, and Zycor is just, he's just Money Mayweather in here. Just, you know, dipping, dodging. And, you know, then grabs his leg and then Iron Mikes him and bow right in the one in hitter, chest one
quitter.
And what? And Vegeta, he
also, that is a Dragon Ball staple. The gut punch that, like, makes your stomach go out your back and then you just start coughing up blood and shit.
Uh-huh. And ooh, look at this. Grabs his head. Yo, they always violating Vegeta, bro, man. Like, why they got white?
Every single time.
Why they hanging my man like
and,
this?
And again, yo. I legit don't really remember these at all. So it's like I'm getting it back in real time. So it's like when I finally got here, I was like, not even in fan fiction can Vegeta catch a lick, bro. Like,
I know. Man, shout out to Miss Baja. Man, she would not be happy reading this. She would not be happy reading this. We love you, Bex. You gotta come on for the next chapter.
I mean, review we just
want to hear your thoughts on Vegeta just getting violated like this. Like, come on,
creative medium. He gets washed. Like, put some respect on, like, my man's name.
That's what we said. We said that was those were the panels that got Toriyama's attention. He said, "Oh, let me," and then he throws him in the air and look at this, yo. He about to.
Well, you know how like I support you, King is like a saying that made its way into the zeitgeist of pop culture. I feel like that sentence was made to stand in solidarity with Vegeta, because you know he's always calling himself Prince and he's just beginning so down, trying, like, no, you know what, I support you, King. Like, I support you.
Also,
is it over? Not to the fist jumps. It's over.
Thanks.
Woo! First appearance.
Hey.
Yeah. Over a bug.
Yeah. I got you though.
We live, we hot. Queen Alley on the ones and twos.
Yes, indeed.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I had to grab a little bug ski.
I kind of convinced myself that I'm high key. If she really wants to talk about Inuyasha on here, I'm down with it, bro. I'm like, with this shit.
Listen,
that could be an any minute now segment when we finally get that up and running.
Yeah, man.
Covering all of the shit. Covering everything.
This is an anime household.
Look, bro. Hell yeah. Big facts. But yeah, justice for my man Vegeta, yo. That's all.
Yeah. justice
for the king.
He stays getting my lopped, even in the real series and the fan series.
Facts.
Bex, we're going to send you the links for this AF chapter, and we're going to need you on for this. So, let's do chapter two when the month that we were supposed to get the next super chapter.
Oh, I like that. So, I like that. I'm with that.
All right. I'm with that. So, yeah, Vegeta's about to get sent to the other realm. He's about to get sent to the other world, and then, we got Super Saiyan 4 Gohan.
Effortlessly.
He doesn't even need to change into the Squid Games. He just transforms. And look, I love it. And it isn't that far-fetched to think that he would be able to get this, because when Goku at the end of GT, he doesn't even go to the other world. He goes to a realm beyond the other world, beyond Hiphol. Like, nobody really knows where he's at this
really
moment.
I
agree. I think one of the high moments of GT was actually the ending. I thought the ending was for what it's worth, was pretty well done. And I thought like that, like closing off of saying like, hey, like Goku, it's about time that we no longer rely on Goku, and it made sense that like any of the travesties that have happened on Earth, you know, characters were tied to, you know, trying to target Goku. And, you know, with all the use of the look, GT, I always said GT had
great ideas, poor execution.
100%. 100%. Like, I thought the concept of the Black Star Dragon Balls, I thought that was a good idea.
Android 17,
I thought it was a good idea.
Loved all that, bro. But the only thing that I will say that was the
quote unquote lost episode.
The General Greedo shit, which was just the start of the show. Yeah, all that shit was.
Yeah, that was.
That's
ass.
Why they had to lose them. They lost them on purpose. It was like, yeah, let's get this shit up out of here.
They said, actually, yeah, don't watch that.
I will say, General Greedo is the perfect example of a character that you hate for all the wrong reasons. Like, it's just like, like, he's getting all the hate. So, like, the creators are like, oh, they're hating him. Like, we want them to. It's like, nah, because he's fucking trash. Yo, it's not like, oh, he's a great villain. I hate him. It's like, bro, why are you wasting my time?
Right. Or like, I'm not hate watching this. I just really don't like this.
I'm watching this hoping it gets better. Like, that's like,
right,
like I'm giving you,
like, you're really pulling at my fandom.
I'm giving you grace because of what Dragon Ball meant for me, but you're testing my loyalty, dog.
right. So, but yeah, Gohan enters the fray and is about to charge up what looks like a Kamehameha to save Vegeta. And you know, obviously, Gohan has the most potential. He even catches Zycor's eyes. Like, everybody is shocked. I mean, well, Trunks is shocked that Gohan has Super Saiyan 4, because it looks like this is the first time that he's unveiled it. But back to even why I was saying, like, it doesn't seem that far-fetched, because when Goku leaves, he's no longer there. The Dragon Balls are no longer there. So if somebody dies, they die. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it would make sense that Gohan would finally take training seriously. You know, he has always been alluded to be, well, hell, he's the strongest in Super right now, you know, like he is the, like, physically strong, you know, but obviously there's a lot more than just pure strength. Yeah. But so it makes sense that Gohan would get Super Saiyan 4 in the post GT era. And it makes sense that everyone is kind of like, oh shit, like, it seems like, based on their reactions, especially Zycor's, he's definitely on another level than Vegeta. And when he enters the fray, that's when... Oh, all right, hold up. I'm sorry, Bex, but...
More slander.
Toyotaro, he really is Toriyama's heir apparent, because damn, he really violent. Nah,
wait, my man's was about to like crush his skull. Was on something like, hey, somebody do something. Like, you want me to stop? Do right. something.
He said, yo, you want to see his brains like looking like porridge on his ground? Come on. Like, look at this. Like,
he said, right call, on his he dome. Said, call me Goldilocks because this bowl of porridge about to be just right.
He said, you want it cold, warm, or hot. We are sorry, Bex. We are sorry. We just covering the manga. She knows that's
my
it. Heart.
She knows Vegeta's my guy. Like, I got the whole Majin hat on, bro. Like, she knows.
This is a team. This is a team Vegeta podcast. This is a team Vegeta podcast.
Oh, I got a Vegeta bucket hat, bro, for the summertime, dog. Can't wait to bust. That out, dog.
You got to bring that out. Here. That's a staple. Oh, and then real quick, Fashion Nova had a sale of this Dragon Ball Z t-shirt that I just ordered. That, actually, a coworker sent it to me, and I was like, it was on. I think it was on sale for like $15. I said, damn, I would have thought it would have up. It would have upcharged at this time, but I said, well,
nah, facts.
That's fire. So, anyways, Trunks comes in. Tries to, you know, anyways, he does he even have Super Saiyan 2 at this point? Who knows? So anyways, look, I'm just gonna fast forward to the end because they all try to fight Zycor.
We're super, super quick. I really liked this panel, actually, like, because I feel like it was a very small detail, but I really enjoy when they, like, induct, like, kind of true human reactions into like fictional things, because it's like it's a sense of relatability that I really like. So I like when Zycor got behind Trunks and he went to go like hit him, and Trunks, instead of moving, tries to block it, and Gohan's like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, you just saw what he did, like, to your dad in 4. You went base Super Saiyan, you trying to block, dog? Like, so I just really liked how it just showed like Trunks is inexperienced mixed with like a little bit of that Vegeta cockiness. He was like, all right, cool, I can defend. Yeah. It's like, no, you cannot. no. he literally Matumbo Trunk. He said, 9 miles, bro.
and Gohan is like, yo, what are you doing? Yeah. But this tells you though how strong Zycor is, because you know they're frozen in fear, because obviously Gohan, why are you telling them to stop? Go fight, you're the strongest. And look at this shot. I thought Trunks' life was done. I thought he was cooked, but then, you know, here comes Gohan, and once again you can tell it's clear that Gohan is the strongest, because he's the first fighter to get a hit on Zycor. Look at that. Yep. Bah, right on him. And it seems like now Zycor is having fun, and it looks like, you know, Gohan's putting up a fight, and everyone is like, oh shit, do we have a chance? And then he's like, ah, nah, come on, I'm just getting warmed up, boy. And you know, Gohan's like charging up, and everybody's watching, and the West Kai is like, ah, yes, this is what I'm trying to see. And finally, this is where it's revealed that it is West Kai, because we pan over to Kabuto Kai, because this was around the time when they did not say that this is when
could be undone. Pitara earrings wasn't permanent.
Yeah, this
anymore.
Was back when fusions were still permanent. So, yeah, you know, you know what? Listen, Toyable, Toyotaro, you were, listen, man, you know what you were doing, because there was a lot of nice Easter eggs here, because we got Tapion in. How do you pronounce his brother's name? Minishoa?
That's how I always, Mitsubishi. That's,
you know, like. Yeah, we're going to call him Mitsubishi. Maserati.
Was it Monashiro Cherries?
yeah. We got Tapion training with the old Kai. He's on one hand balancing a block of Kachin. And so, you know, it's just another nice Easter egg.
Minor,
you know,
critique, because these are in black and white. It did take me a second to process that was Tapion. I just thought that was like new Kai, like Kai's in training.
Yeah.
Because the hair. Because like the hair kind of.
Yeah.
But then it's like when I like better noticed the little brother, I was like, oh, shit. Like, but yeah, I thought it was like, yeah, like this new up and coming Kai's in training. But I guess reading this now, not putting my head in the space that this was before we were introduced to like Zamus and all the other Kais and like Kais in training and other universes. I was just like, oh yeah, that wasn't even a thing back then. We just had like North, South, East, West, Grand Kai. Like that was it.
But, and also too, I knew there was another thing that we, evil Kai. West Kai in this manga is evil Zamasu.
Yeah.
Evil
Kai. So probably taken from, could have been pulled from that for sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, we've seen his influence. We've seen his influence. And yeah, it's, and then, you know, flashbacks to when they were saying, damn, we thought that she was killed by Majin Buu. And apparently not, but we don't know yet of how she survived. We just know that she survived. So, you know, they think that they have a chance because Gohan seems like he's putting up a fight. Vegeta's like, nah, we're screwed. We're done. It's a dunzo. Like,
that's old Vegeta headspace. He wouldn't have said that in the, like his, with his new lease on life. Like Dragon Ball Super, Vegeta's gonna fight till the death. Hey. man's literally took out a god of destruction by himself. That's all I'm saying, you know.
That
royal blue. That's all I'm saying.
So we're about to get to the conclusion of the chapter. Gohan, you know, he's like, I can't protect the Earth. Now he's calling for his dad. You know, trying to find some guidance. And then we pan to Hiffle. And also, this was another part of GT I didn't like. Why the hell would Piccolo be in hell?
Stay behind like that. Yeah.
So they, you know, Hiffle gets a call. They're trying to see where Goku's at. Nobody knows where he is. And this was also, I like this scene when Frieza and Cell were like, found you.
Yeah, he just zaps him. He's like, all right, pussy. That's what that was.
He said, yo, I'm busy right now. Like, I don't got time for your shenanigans. So then he's not there. He's not in Otherworld. And, you know, they're trying to figure it out. And then old Kai is like, wait, could he be? And he said, neither in this world or nor the next. In a world not in the realm of the Kaioshin. And you just see this, like, it looks like a
bagel.
yeah. And then there's some world that where it's alluded to, like the dragons live or whatever. But we got Goku, and he brought a training partner with him, Mr. Paikon.
You know what I would have liked? And again, because I don't remember this at all, I would have really liked, you know, HFIL is obviously like hell, or supposed to be. I would have really liked if, like, this world that Goku and Paikon is, like, was some type of anagram or acronym for, like, heaven. Like kind of, like, you know, just, like, heaven being. Because, like, they never refer to, like, the other world as, like, heaven. It's always like the other world, like, you know, or like the lookout is the lookout, but you know, I was like, well, you have a hell, but you don't really ever use like the term heaven. And I'm sure it's probably like for religious reasons and whatnot, but I thought that would have been, I thought that would be like a little cool thing if that's like, oh, the realm beyond the realm, like the actual, you know, paradise in the sky type time. Mm-hmm. I just thought that'd be cool.
Yeah. So, and you notice he has on the Tablos.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, the chapter concludes that Goku is in this other realm that we don't know. He brought
Paikon
with
him. Why didn't he bring Piccolo?
Why'd
you go grab Piccolo? You know? Like, why? Paikon be in the HFIL. He was like patrolling. When shit would get out of hand, they would send Paikon down there to, you know, to calm the riot. Like, he was already plugged in for that in Dragon Ball. Like, they already did it, but it's cool. I get it, fine.
So yeah, that's how Dragon Ball AF Chapter 1 ends. So I'll lead this one, Matt, and ask the question out of 7-star Dragon Balls. What do you
I would have said 6, but the disrespect to my man Vegeta, they got to get docked. So I'm gonna go 5 because I am really enjoying like essentially doing this again in real time, and I think it's kind of
fun. Yeah.
And I have a different appreciation of it after the fact, because like you said, there's so much influence of what Toru Taro does now that was here.
Yep.
That is like, it's really cool when you get to see like if a skateboarder somehow stumbled into a some old VHS tapes of Tony Hawk as a teenage skater, I'm sure pretty sure that would be like Nirvana for them. So getting to see Torotaro, who again all signs are pointing to is gonna like, you know, take on the mantle as we move forward in this DB space. Seeing him from his, I won't even call him humble beginnings, because that shit's fire. Like, this shit looks, it looks real. Like, it looks real. It reads real. Yeah. Feels real. So, but just seeing, like, what, looking at the property that got him the job, and now that we've gotten to know him for so long, for so many years at this point, it's just, it's cool. It's like living history, reliving history.
Right.
Which is dope. So, yeah, I'm gonna give it a 5. Like I said, would have been a 6, but disrespecting my mans.
Yes, you know, I'll go 5.5. Because I was same wavelength, was gonna go 6, but when I re-brought up those panels, I said, yeah, they really fucked them up.
Zycor's chin spikes is a weird choice for me. Like, it does kind of,
yeah,
it takes me out of it a bit. Like, I don't mind like the knuckle diamonds or whatever the fuck those are, but yeah, like just those two. Because you know what, weirdly, it reminds me, super deep cut, it reminds me of the guy Spike from Ben 10. He was like he was basically like part porcupine, part human, and he had like quills coming out of his chin, and it's just like, yeah, makes me think of that.
I don't think it was a good aesthetic look, yeah, but it did make him look like more evil. But yeah,
West Kai don't got that, so it was just like, where did the, like, yeah, if you supposed to be Goku's son, who in the gene pool has porcupine spikes? Like, I'm just
kidding. Yeah, we gotta check the family tree of Kais and see where the recessive gene is.
Right, facts.
Like, who? What Kai had spikes on their chin?
Went from being on the chin to their hair standing up, I guess. Metamorphosis, baby, evolution.
And then, with Zycor's hair being that silverish, you know, you wonder if, you know, took inspiration for that for Ultra Instinct. You never, you know,
so much stuff.
Hey, this was fun. I'm really going to be looking forward to, because there's, you know, we got Deliverance, we got Dragon Ball Kakame. Yeah, like, there's, we got shit to cover. So I hope y'all enjoyed.
Ooh.
What's up?
Because you've been talking about doing this anyway. We should rewatch Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. We should rewatch Dragon Ball. Cover it on the pod.
Hey. Content going
to be big facts. Big facts.
We keeping
exclusive. Exclusive.
Yeah. Even though we never need to do that.
Right. Big facts. I feel like that'd be fun.
I mean, like our brother Eric says, legend never dies. So
never die. I'm trying to build.
Trying to build.
But
take us home, Mr. Border.
Got you, buddy. Lifers. We call you guys the lifers because you quite literally put the L into DB for L. But we know that we cannot build this spirit bomb without you. So if you would lend us your energy by way of likes, subscribes, listens, reviews, recommendations, and all that jazz. And the easiest way to do so is by clicking the all-powerful link tree of might in the episode description below. And like we always say here, in the Kame house that Toriyama built, whether you watch it or you read it, we all need it. So open up your nerd eye and we will see you next time on Dragon Ball for Life. Dodon Ray. Shout out to super producer Mikey and Paul.
Get up. We love you, Mikey.
And shout out to Yali.
All caps.
Caps.
Inte.
And Anchan. Later, nerds.
We out.
Mortals, listen up. It's your god of destruction, Beerus, here. Subscribe and follow the Dragon Ball for Life podcast, or else you shall be erased from existence. Akai.